Good morning to each one gathered here this morning. It's a beautiful day to be gathered in the house of the Lord. A beautiful time to gather with fellow believers. I've been challenged with the service and a lot of things I've heard this morning that I could grow in my own life and put to practice. And it's kind of interesting how there seems to have been a theme running through the service so far, and that of somewhat of a personal evangelism and reaching out, doing works on our own. This morning, my message that I've chosen to speak on is probably not exactly down that line. And it's also, as I studied this, I feel like I'm just scratching the surface and barely getting very deep into it. But hopefully, some of the things we look at here this morning can be a help to each one of us. The title for my message here this morning is Modern Idolatry. Modern Idolatry. And then as I thought about idolatry, you know, idolatry is an ancient problem, and we may think it was only an ancient problem, but it's not. It's still with us here today to some degree. First time in the Bible we see it was back in Genesis 31:19, and Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. First time we've noticed, or first time the Bible actually says that somebody had images or idols that they worshipped. So way back, first book of the Bible, Genesis, they were ready, had this idol worship problem. Just as we start here in thinking of idols or idolatry, there's two different definitions or meanings of the word. The worship of a physical object as a god, and that's what we're thinking of, an image, bowing down before that, or immoderate attachment or devotion to something. Both definitions show that one's heart, one's desires are focused to something, giving devotion to it. And so the question I raise for each of us here this morning, is this still a problem today? Is idolatry a problem today? And I think I already answered that question. I said it is. What takes our worship away from God? And whatever takes our worship away from God ends up being an idol in our life. And I just wanted to draw a small example here on the board just to help try to get so we know what we're talking about here this morning, and I'm not much of an artist, but I'll try. So here's man. Picture that as us. And when our heart's desires, our worship, our focus, our passion is directed in certain directions. And we'll go up here. And since I don't know a good way to illustrate God, we know he's in heaven, we know that he's up there. So man, we fall down, we worship, and our true worship should be to God. That is what true worship looks like. And I think we all know that this morning, that man should direct his worship to God. But so often, sometimes we have our devotion or our worship may go this way. And I just want to call this morning idol worship. And that is when we give our attention, our focus, our desire, our passions to things that are around us here on this earth. And there's a long list of them, and I'm just going to put a few symbols here. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's technology. Maybe it's our cars. Maybe it's sports. Maybe it's actually people. For their strengths or their beauties or what they can do. And I think we all can see that around us in the world, that there is plenty of people who worship these things around us. And that's what we want to focus on this morning, and looking at that as being an idol in our lives, or something that is taking the place of our true worship, is the things around us. We cannot have God and other things reign supreme in our lives. God is a jealous God. He wants to be the one and only that our full devotion is going to. In Matthew 6:24, it says, "There, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and things of this world. 1st of all, I want to look at what does the Bible say about idolatry. So turn in your Bibles to Exodus 20. And Exodus 20 is where the Ten Commandments were given to the people here. And it's a human nature that our hearts tend to be drawn to other things. And so we see how serious this is to God, because in these verses here, he talks about it and he warns them against serving other gods. I'm going to start in Exodus 20, verse 1, and read to verse 6. "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the father of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." He desires our full devotions this morning. And I think that's what we talked about is in the devotions and in the Sunday school verses as well, that are we giving our all to God? Are we speaking up for him? Or what is it that is the first thing that comes out of our mouths? Or are we able to speak for him? Because later on in that verse, in verse 5 there, it says, he talks about visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and then it says, of them that hate me. And that follows right behind the beginning of the verse, thou shalt not bow thyself down, talking of idols, not bowing yourself down to idols or serving them. And then it's kind of linked with them that hate me. If you are bowing down to idols, he's saying, basically implying that you're hating God or not having a true love or a complete love for him. Also, turn over to Psalms 115. Again, it talks of the people who serve idols or make idols. Psalms 115, verses 4 through 8. "Their idols are silver and gold, the works of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet they have, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat, they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them." So it goes on this whole list of things that they have but cannot do. They're incapable of doing anything. They have no power, no strength. And then in the very last verse, it is what caught my attention. "They that make them are like them." They have no power, those that make them. And also, even those that trust in them. There's no strength. They cannot get strength or power from serving these idols. Turn back to Exodus 32. There's a story I also want to look at here this morning. And we know this is the children of Israel, and it was right at the same time that the Lord was giving these Ten Commandments that I just had read earlier about not serving idols and other gods. And we know how the children of Israel here, they fell into idolatry. Exodus 32. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us, for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not that he is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned them with a graving tool which he had made into a molten calf. And they said, This be the gods of Israel which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron sought it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. For they rose up early in the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought a peace offering. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I have commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be the gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against the people which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a great hand? Wherefore shall the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of I will give unto your seed, that they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto the people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testaments were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, one on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither it is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh into the camp, he saw the calf, the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strewed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought such great sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of the Lord, and there fell the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book with that which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they had made the calf which Aaron made. So here is a very well-known story, how the children of Israel chose to worship, to make this golden image. And we can say, how in the world did they do that? Why did they turn away from God so quickly? Moses had went up onto the mountain, and with a matter of a very little time, they were singing, dancing, and worshiping around this golden calf. Were the children of Israel any different than we are today? Do we today have some of the same tendencies as these people did, as the children of Israel did? You know, our heart, we desire to worship something. We desire to put our trust in something. And the children of Israel felt they had been disappointed with God. They felt that he had left them down. They felt frustrated with them. They were in the middle of a wilderness, and they chose not to see God's bigger plan, his bigger picture. And so they became frustrated with that and thought they could take things into their own hands. So they turned to making something they felt they could trust in. And now we may say, why a golden calf? And as I did a little bit of study, we know that in Egypt there was a god named Apis, which was symbolized by a calf. So they had just come out of Egypt, they were surrounded by idolatry and worshiping many idols, much of the creation around them was worshipped. And so they made this symbol of a calf. Also in Canaan, where they were going, which they probably may have known some about, there was the god Baal, which was a golden bull calf as well, or at least sometimes was symbolized as that. And this calf was a symbol of power, prosperity, and sexuality. And it was something that they thought that they could look to, that had power, that could lead them. Are we, or is America around us, are we any different than these children of Israel today in what we worship? If we think of what they were worshiping, they were worshiping this symbol of power, prosperity, and sexuality. And today, that's not too far removed from us. The world around us, and maybe ourselves, tend to want to worship that or idolize some of that. Colossians 3:5, mortify there your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Again, he's linking those sins to being things that we can idolize. Also, I find it very interesting that our English word bull originates from the same word, root word, as the word Baal did. And so I just found it interesting how those two came together. And I'm not here, it's probably somewhat coincidental, but maybe not totally. It's interesting how maybe some people today still idolize the bull. Do we worship a bull in America today? Is that something we idolize? And some of you may recognize this picture. It's the bull on Wall Street, and it's known for its symbol of power and prosperity. And that's conquering. And it's just a comparison picture of Canaan and the bull. Very interesting how today we still, maybe some, worship a bull. But what are modern idols? I was coming home last evening from my in-laws out at Carlisle and come down through 272, and I go past Buck Motorsports. And I was thinking about my message this morning, and I see all those people gathered there, the whole field parking lot full of people, and I wondered, was there any idols there last night? Is there any idolatry? Anybody worshiping anything there? Is enjoying tractors or trucks okay? Yes, maybe. But when it becomes our desire, our passion, how do you think God feels about that? America, also, we even proclaim it. There's a TV show here in America known as American Idol, where people that have talent become famous, or they can try to. The name even admits that they idolize people for what they can do. American Idol. A saying from Martin Luther, whatever your heart clings to and confides in, that is really your God. Again, whatever your heart clings to and confides in, that is really your God. Romans 1, verses 21 through 23, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, dishonor their bodies toward themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Again, worshipped the Creator, creature more than the Creator. What is the thing in your life that if you lose, you would feel like your life is not worth living anymore? Is there something that if it would be taken out of your life, a possession you have, an occupation you hold, money in your bank account, whatever, you name it, if that thing was taken from you, you would say, life is just not worth living. That was my desire, that was my passion, and it's gone. Or what, and when I said that we need to look at that, and maybe we're giving it too much attention, too much desire. Or what is it, that thing in your life that you feel, if you would just be able to get this or attain this, then I would be happy, then I would have achieved. Is that an idol to you? Idolatry is a state of the heart. Idolatry is where our heart's attention, or where our desire, where the desire of our heart is. It's the same as it was for the children of Israel serving the golden calf. Their attention, their focus was on this calf, and they felt that this was a symbol of power. Today, maybe our attention is on other things, or our desires are on other things. And it explains it very well in Ezekiel 14, verses 1 through 6. There came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Shall I inquire of it all by them? Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from your abominations. Verse 5 there, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart. And another version, the NIV, says, I will do this to recapture the hearts of the people of Israel. Here God was speaking to the children of Israel because he knew he had lost their heart. The children of Israel, their hearts desire, their attendance or their focus was no longer on God, and he says he's trying to recapture their heart. What does the world or even maybe the church hold highly this morning that could be an idol? And you can have that list in your mind. I made a list of things here, and it's not at all inclusive. There can be so many things. We as individuals are all different, but there may be things that we view or value too highly. Some of them are very temporal things that were mentioned already. Cars, clothes, money, lifestyles, heritage, technology. Maybe it's even me. Maybe it's a self-focus. Maybe it's sports. Maybe it's pleasure. Or things that all these things have their place, and most of them are okay, but if our hearts desire them, or if our heart is devoted to them, maybe it's an idol in our life. And some of this is maybe hard for us to recognize, some of these idols that maybe we face today, because our society around us say that this is normal, this is okay, but not everything that is normal in society around us, it doesn't mean that it's all right. Just because everyone around you is obsessed with looking good doesn't mean it's right. Just because people may work long hours and sacrifice family time to get ahead doesn't mean it's right. Just because many people play sports or love to be part of the game, throw themselves into it, or are extreme sports fan doesn't mean that it's okay in God's eyes. If our work comes ahead of helping others, or is more important than coming to church or worshiping God, is that an idol in our life? Luke 16, verse 15, and he said to them, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." Why is this an abomination in the sight of God? Because it is taking our heart's desire away from him. And again, he is a very jealous God. God wants our whole hearts to be serving him, devoted to him alone. Nobody, no other thing can get in between. Well, my third point of the message is how to overcome idolatry. There is hope this morning. We can look at all the negatives and we can look at the problem, but if we don't have a hope or an answer for the problem, it's no use looking at the problem. First of all, Christ has made a way. Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Again, Christ has taken our indebtedness or our sins, nailed them to the cross, and now we do have a way for past failures or failures that we may currently, or sin we may currently be involved in, there is a way. God has created a way that we can rise above this. We can live above sin, and our past sin can be erased. Turn to Mark chapter 12. How to overcome idolatry. And the main way to overcome idolatry is to love the true God. And this may seem very simple, but God commands it time and again, and especially here in Mark 12, verse 29 through 31. And Jesus answered him, let me just back up to 28, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "What is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus said unto him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. This is the greatest commandment. Our heart's desire and affection needs to be towards God. It's the most important thing. And if we keep our affection pointed in the right direction, we will not have the problem of serving other idols if we have a true love for God. Because God knows what we love, our heart will follow after. So therefore, we need to love God with all our heart. And this becomes very practical. It becomes a daily decision we have to make. Finally, it comes down to what are we choosing to love? No one else can make that decision for you here this morning. You have to be the one that decides. Am I going to serve things of this earth, love things here on this earth, or am I going to be like Paul and be fully committed to the Lord and where he leads? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all the scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The second point I have is that we have God's word, and it's for inspiration, and it is for reproof, for correction, for instruction. And by focusing and staying in God's word, it will help our heart to stay focused towards God. And God's word can also show the idols that we may be setting up in our own life. It also shows, as we talked about earlier, how God feels about it and how God strongly condemns idolatry. He did in the Old Testament and he does in the New Testament as well. And just because of the condemnation that God puts on those who serve should be motivate us as well to serve the true God, to keep our full heart and affection towards him. Thirdly, is being part of a group like we're here this morning can help us with our idolatry. Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. We need each other to help us stay accountable. We need each other to help us know when things are getting out of line in our own life, when we're putting too much attention or focus on things around us. We need to be honest about it. We need to be honest that we do have idols that may be cropping up in our lives. And then we need to admit it and turn it over to Jesus, ask for his forgiveness and his help to overcome. Because if we live in denial of our failures, we will never rise above them. There's no way we can overcome if we continue to deny it. That is also one of the most important steps to overcoming something, is by admitting we have a problem or have something that we need to overcome. Commit in our heart that the Lord, you are the only one I want to serve. All these other things, though they look beautiful and appealing, but it is you alone that I want to worship. It should be our heart's desire, our heart's cries, to worship God alone. Because as I said before, it's a heart issue. And just something a verse I want us to remember here in closing: for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If our treasures are things of this earth or things around us, our heart will follow after that. And God wants our heart. He wants our whole heart, our complete attention, and our complete worship this morning. So I trust that although we just scratched the surface on idolatry, that we can overcome these modern idols that we may have in our lives. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.